good. First, I must ask whether any persons here present have any lawful reason why these two should not be wed.
I have a reason. Look beyond the false beard, the false nose, the third arm, and the t-shirt saying, I'm definitely not gently benevolent. He's really Mr. Gently Benevolent.
Oh, I nearly married him. Call it off. Call the wedding off.
Damn you, Pip-Bin.
There is another reason why the wedding cannot go ahead. For no girl should marry without her father to walk her up the aisle.
Father?
Yes, it is I. Return to you and not dead after all.
What happened to you?
In a word, opium. In three words, lots of opium.
Mother.
Rub the chops in dung. It sounds odd, but trust me, it tastes delicious.
My father approached my mother, and as he looked into her eyes...
Then cook at gas mark 4 for 3 years. Oh, hello, Thomas. How lovely to see you. I've been pretending to be mad for the past 8 months.
You've been pretending?
Oh, well, who bloody raw?
Everyone's happy, everyone's sane, and my evil scheme has gone up in smoke.
And what exactly was your evil scheme?
It was complicated. In some ways, possibly a little overcomplicated. And I think it's time to simplify things. En garde!
Reverend, I don't suppose you have any weaponry around here, do you?
Well, there's always the communion sword. It's under the dueling font.
Thank you.
Have at you, Bin! Ah!
Mr. Benevolent scrambled past the altar and ended up trapped in a corner with a file of prayer books. As I advanced on him, he picked one up and threw it at me, but I easily caught it on the point of my sword. He threw another, and another, and each time I caught it on my sword.
Aha, uh-huh. And now you are out of prayer books.
Yes, and you are out of sword.
What?
He was right. I'd caught so many books that my sword was more a word kebab than a weapon. There was absolutely no pointy, cutty, stabby bit left.
Ah.
And now, young Pip,
you die.
Now it was his turn to advance on me. I moved backwards and tripped over a step.
Aha! You tripped over my special step. 10 years ago, I had this church built and incorporated that very step for exactly this eventuality. That is how complicated my plan was. Now, prepare to die.
No, I will not let it happen.
Aunt Lily, but I thought...
I was dead. No, I was not dead. I was just pretending I was and doing it really, really well.
Enough conversation. Time to die, Pip-Bin.
Mine!
Aunt Lily, why?
I'd take a sword for you any day, Pip. Mind you, if I'd known it was going to hurt this much, I might not have actually done it.
Bugger! You fiend! I shall kill you for that!
You cannot win, Pip-Bin. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
How does that work exactly?
Just thought it sounded good.
Let's put it to the test, shall we? Look, flying above the altar, a penguin.
A penguin? Flying? But they're supposed to be flightless. Such an ornithological curiosity I have to see. Even if it does leave me perilously off guard for a second.
Take that!
Oh, a sword in the gut. Oh, ruddy flipping, Nora.
Hurrah!
Oh, look! It's your funny fat friend.
Harry, you are alive and still naked. But how do you escape the redcoats?
It's a long story, and conveniently, one for another time. But there is something I must do. Pippa Bin.
Harry Biscuit.
Will you marry me?
Of course.
Hurrah again!
Anti-hurrah if I have anything to do with it.
Benevolent lived, and from somewhere he produced a small flintlock pistol.
Goodbye, Pippa Bin.
The bullet struck me, and a crimson stain blossomed through my jacket.
Quick, undo his jacket. Hang on, this isn't blood. This is strawberry and cow's blood jar.
Of course. Mother poured a jar in there when she came to the prison, and it has stopped the bullet. Thank you, dear Mother.
And Benevolent is finally dead.
Are we sure?
Well, I'm sitting on him and I weigh 47 stone. And I'm naked, remember, so the embarrassment alone would have been fatal.
And now a wedding.
Hurrah! Yet again!
And that is where my story ends.
So, you killed Mr. Gently Benevolent?
Of course, and I am proud of it.
Then, sir, I have no option but to challenge you to a duel to avenge his honour.
Oh, sir, he had no honour.
Maybe not, but sometimes a grandson must seek vengeance.
A grandson? I should have known. You look so similar.
En garde!
You draw a sword on me?
I do.
Then that is to your disadvantage, for when talking to the press, I always take the precaution of having my blunderbuss with me.
Ah.
Father, Mr. Sourquill, stop!
Have at you, you scoundrel!
You've missed me, Sir Philippin. Which means the man with the sword is very much with the advantage.
Mr. Sourquill, Jeremy, please.
I must, for my grandfather, even if he was a bit evil.
But how does killing my father rectify anything? If you do so, you only deprive yourself of a father-in-law.
He is not my father-in-law. Oh, unless, do you mean...
Jeremy Sourquill, will you marry me?
Oh,
curse the emancipation of women.
Yes, I would like that very much.
Then let my father go.
Very well. I discard my sword. Sorry.
We have your blessing.
No, but you may marry him.
Thank you, Father.
After all, he may be a journalist, but he's going to be the most famous journalist in Britain.
How so, sir?
I have many more stories before my life is truly told. How I invented the Scotch egg. How I discovered the continent of West America. And above all, how I single-handedly destroyed the Martian invasion of 1845. But for now, enough murder and woe. Enough lives cut short. Enough backstabbing, front-stabbing, and side-stabbing. For tomorrow will be a happier day. A more noble one. And now, all our expectations are far from bleak.
Bleak Expectations is written by Mark Evans and starred Richard Johnson as Sir Philip Bin, Tom Allen as Young Pip, Anthony Head as Mr. Benevolent, Celia Imrie as Aunt Lily, Jeffrey Whitehead as Judge Hardthrasher, Susie Kane as Pippa, Mark Perry as Thomas Bin, Sarah Hadland as Lily, James Barkman as Harry Biscuit, and Mark Evans as Mr. Wickham, Post Forbiton, Fenugreek, Chasby Chiselton, Montmorency, you know, the lawyer. It was produced by Gareth Edwards.